What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loose Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and this week I've got my buddy Gareth back on the podcast. How are you doing today, Gareth?
I'm pretty well, all things considered, obviously with the bad news we've had recently, but we're sort of getting on with it. And it's a welcome distraction, sort of the community and being able to talk about things like what we're going to be talking about today, to be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you were able to schedule this in and make it happen. I've been thinking about you. You know, we've been concerned for you guys, and you know, obviously we've been praying for you, and we're super excited to have you here. And I enjoy our conversations. So I'm really excited for this particular conversation because you and I have been messaging back and forth, getting ready. So before we get into the podcast, I've already cracked my drink, so there will be, I have to add in post the actual popping of the cap. But I do want to toast our Patreon producers. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us. I hope you're enjoying the content. I'm getting ready to do a couple more drops on the podcast, some of the February content coming up, and some extra stuff. I got some pledge content. So thank you, JT. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Sadik. And thank you, MZ, for sticking with us. Here's a little bit for you. It's always way different when you drink half your drink and it doesn't quite hit the same. So in just real quick for some housekeeping, guys, Resident Daryl on YouTube, we are itching our way closer and closer to 1,000 subscribers. I started dabbling in shorts, Gareth. Tricky and I got together from Proven Gamer, the old trivia horse.
Yeah.
And I did some Patreon content with Tricky. And he had turned me on to this application that I've seen ads for called Opus Clips. And Opus Clips will take your long form videos and it'll auto generate what it thinks are good shorts, you know?
Is that what I've been seeing on his Discord?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so he said, hey, I'm playing around with this software called Opus Clips. And then what it does is it cuts your stuff into that way. It's more suitable for Instagram Reels and TikTok and things of that nature. Now, I don't mess with those platforms, but I'd seen someone talk about this before. And I think I saw an ad for it on Facebook. So I had it kind of written down as like investigate Opus Clips. So Tricky and I, we do a Patreon episode over on the Proving Gamer podcast, Patreon, or excuse me, Proving. I always want them to call it the Proving Gamer podcast, but Proving Gamer Network, either way. And so, so one of our little shorts hits like an immediate 5K, you know, 5,000 views. And I'm like, oh man, that's cool. And I watched the short and I was like, I like the way it did that. It was cool because it took the two cameras, split it up, you know, above each other. And I just liked the way it worked. I was like, oh man, that was pretty cool. So anyways, I thought it was pretty interesting. It's so funny. He just texted me about it today.
Okay.
So he just literally texted me about while talking.
Yeah. I have watched a few of those videos that he's posted on, cause it also generates the captions, doesn't it? For the, as they're speaking. So yeah. I've watched a few that he's done.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool little software and it takes so much of the editing time away so you can just create more content. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to apply that to mine and my kids' YouTube channel, the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. And so we cut up some of our videos just so it kind of highlights like, oh, here's this specific part. Oh, this specific part. And it gives you like 10, right? And it has like a grading system. Like, do you like, this is 99% like a good grade. Like we think this one is going to be good for you all the way down to like a 60. And most of them under the top two kind of suck. Usually they're pretty terrible. And so I just started kind of downloading videos, ripping them into small clips and then putting them out there. So I've been releasing daily shorts. So for the rest of the week, there'll be more. And I'm just kind of testing out. Let's see if the shorts do anything, because I keep reading and I keep hearing that as far as like growing your YouTube platform, that like the algorithm favors shorts. Well, anytime that I did shorts where I created them on my own, it killed my long form content views. I would go from like 1,000 view videos to like 300 to 500.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, and I've read some theories that like when you introduce shorts, if you just do like a long form video this week and a short next week, you kind of break your algorithm. So you need to do like long form videos each week and then shorts in between.
Got you.
So either way, I'm experimenting with that. So if you start getting a bunch of notifications, hey, we got some shorts popping up. I've got a lot of footage that never made it into a video that are perfect for shorts, you know, where it's like, here's a couple cool pieces that I would love to show off, but it wasn't enough to make a whole video. So Resident Daryl on YouTube, guys, give it a follow. Check out the Loot Bros Patreon. Each and every week we drop, or excuse me, each and every month we drop extra episodes. We have multiple tiers. This month you're getting a couple different, you're getting a couple extra episodes if you're a patron. On the last day of the month, I'll have a review dropping on there, an extra deep dive and all that good stuff. So lots of cool stuff. I'm going to sprinkle some of the extra content into February outside of what I commit to. You know, it's going to be, I'm going to try to burn through this Attack on Titan stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's funny enough, because obviously I've joined a couple of your Whatnot streams, because obviously Whatnot has predominantly been in the States anyway, hasn't it? But it started to creep into the UK market. There's been a couple of video games auctions that have gone live that I've sort of, haven't purchased anything from yet, only because they're not, you know, I'm not necessarily a reseller and not a collector, especially of sort of Nintendo or Game Boy, so because I don't have a console to play them on. So I'm sort of looking specifically for types of PS3 games, but it got me looking at about thinking, man, I've got a load of Blu-rays that I could look to do to sell on there, because I don't use them or watch them at all. Same with games. I've actually lined up a, I've done a Resident Daryl in terms of trying to. So I've used Marketplace, and somebody I've got at the moment, I'm supposed to be collecting it tomorrow, but it's they're unboxed, but they're nine PS3 games. Eight PS3 games in sleeves for £9.
Which
seems like I could at least sell them. Do you know what I mean? If I was to go on to Whatnot, I'm sure, you know, at least make your money back at the very least on those.
That's right.
Like that. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And you know what's cool? I love Whatnot. That's really, I had a very, very good January on Whatnot. And it's for anyone who's listened, it's like, what is Whatnot? And I keep hearing you say it. It's like if Twitch and eBay were merged. You have a live stream and you're interacting with a live crowd in the chat, and you're selling merchandise, whether it's video games, movies, action figures, like storage locker clean outs. I mean, people sell everything on Whatnot. And what's been really cool is I'll buy these bulk deals, right? This bundle of all this stuff. I'll pull out what little bit I want to keep out of it, and then I'll go on Whatnot and I'll resell it. And so some of the stuff I can sell at a premium because it's got a lot of value. And some of the stuff is, like you said, like sleeved games, where I buy binders of 100 or 200 at a time, and I'll go on Whatnot and I'll be like, well, I've got a dollar into it. Let's start it at a dollar, you know, and then we'll let people bid and I'll bundle the games from there. And the cool thing is you take the lower value stuff, your bulk, as I like to call it, and you can just run a show on bulk. And then while people are there, they're like, well, hey, I'm already kind of buying stuff. How about some of these more expensive premium titles? Can we bundle them together? And it's a lot of fun, making a little bit of money, not getting rich. You know, I definitely try to sell my stuff below market value so that it moves fast and people are getting good deals. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, whenever I'm, me personally, this is just how I like to do it. I got a good deal to get here. I want to make sure I pass that deal on, but I also want to stay above. I just want to make sure I stay above water. You know, I'm not losing money. So
yeah, exactly. That's the most important thing.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So definitely Whatnot is great. So, all right. So that is the housekeeping, all of the major, you know, kind of things going on. New videos dropping each week on YouTube, and of course Whatnot auctions. I'm doing a actual PS Vita and PSP stream tomorrow night. So we're recording this Monday morning. This will go live on Monday. I know I've been kicking out the recordings on Thursdays a lot lately. That's actually really helped my editing schedule between YouTube and podcast. This one will go live today. I'll kick it out live today. But so if you're listening to this, I'm going to do a Whatnot stream tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And basically what I'm going to do is I've bought tons and tons of PSP games, both U.S. and Japanese imports, and tons of Vita, both U.S. and Japanese imports. And I'm going to do a PSP and Vita show. And it seems to be I've had a lot of people reach out, and there's a good market for it. And so I'm going to see about burning out some of these doubles and triples, stuff like that. So, but yeah, so Gareth, we'll start with you, man. What have you been playing and what have you been getting into?
So I touched on the first game that I'll talk about is, well, I won't really talk about it because I already have talked about it, but I mentioned last time I was on the podcast, I've been playing Cursed to Golf. I think I was mentioned I'd started it, and I finally got the platinum on that last Sunday, I think it was. So really, really enjoyable game. Good points for the rarity contest as well, I might add. But overall, really good. If for anyone who is going to be looking at playing that, it's on PS Extra. Then it's a roguelike game, that golf game. Basically, you're sent to hell, and you've got to complete an 18-hole course to basically get yourself back to life, basically. And each hole has its own series of obstacles and pitfalls. And should you fail at any point, because these holes aren't like a normal golf hole where it might take you between one and five shots. It's going to take you on a lot of the holes between 20, 30, 35 shots to try and navigate the course. But if you fail at any point, so you could be on hole 17, you fail and you go back to hole one. And there's a series of power-ups you can earn to help. But it's a really good game. You can get through it, and I really advise people, if anyone wants to play it or go for the platinum on it, make use of the manual, of basically turning off your auto-save feature on the cloud. And every time you complete a hole, do a manual upload to the cloud. That way, if you lose your progress, then you can just reload your save from the cloud and continue from where you've left off. So that would be my tip on that one. But no, I finally got the platinum. Really good game. Didn't take as long as what I thought it would do. It can probably be done in sort of 8 hours, probably. It depends on how good you are, 8 to 10 hours, I would have thought. But yeah, quite challenging, but very good. I've been playing a little bit more of Art of Rally. I've got a few trophies in that one. I'm sort of the second to last group away now from completing the career mode in that. So, which is the groups go up in basically the spec of car. So the higher the group, the cars become quicker as you go through. A bit like Mario, when you've got the CC engines and obviously. Mm-hmm. So, not near in the end, because there is a trophy for completing 1,000 stages. But then, like everything, like any good trophy hunter, you'll always look for any sort of exploit in how you can get around that. And it appears there is a little exploit, which it will still take a good probably 3 hours to grind it, but it is possible to do it rather than completing the actual stages. So anyone playing that, there is a little exploit for completing the 1,000 stages. And then I picked up two games. One game that I'm playing, and it will come on to when we play, talking about the portal, but I picked it up off PS Extra because I thought it'd be a perfect relaxing game to play on the portal. And that's again, it's on PS Extra. It's called Carto. It's a puzzle adventure game. It's broken down into a series of chapters, and you're following the story. But the interesting thing about this game is you have a map, and you're collecting map pieces as you go along. So X collects the map pieces, and when you press the triangle button, that opens your map up, and then you can add these pieces of the map to what map you've already got. But you can put them not anywhere, because they have to fit, but you can put them in different places, and you can rotate that section of the map. So you can make it work for you to try and complete puzzles and obstacles and whatnot. So it's quite an interesting game. It's not a, I wouldn't say it's particularly long, but some of the puzzles you have to think about, potentially may even use a user guide. The platinum rarities on it is at 44%. I'm only sort of on chapter four of that at the moment. But that's, I'm finding that quite relaxing, playing on the portal. And then, I picked up a game dirt cheap in the sale. And again, I've only been using it on the portal. And you probably have seen it, Daryl. Anyway, it's called Food Truck Tycoon. But do you know which game I mean? It is. Do you know which one?
I haven't played it or seen any videos on it, but yeah. I did see the thumbnail.
So it's, so my kids used to play it on the iPad, I think, and they've got it on their Switch game, on their Switch as well. And basically, you have customers that are coming in and they're ordering food. So, and it's a case of you've got to cook a sausage, you want a drink, or burgers, or salad, mm-hmm. and you've got to sort of combine it before the time runs out, collect the money off them, serve them their food, and obviously try and get 3 stars on each of the levels. And it's more of a, it's quite a long game, because I think there's 60 levels in it, but it's because the points actually qualify for the THL, and obviously to qualify for THL, the games have got to be over 6 hours, you know, the 50 fastest you've got to be 6 hours. So, but again, that's just, it's just one of those pick up and play games, might do a couple of levels here and there, but it's easy trophies, quite common trophies. But the platinum, well, I don't think it's platinum, I think it's 100%, but to get 100%, it's about 43% rarity on that. So, that's what I've been playing.
That's awesome. So I've pretty much been playing exclusively on the portal, and I haven't, before we get in, you know, to that eventually, like, I have tried to pick games that I personally thought would have an issue to play on the portal. Okay. So I've been playing graphically intensive stuff and things that just require a ton of playtime. So I've been playing some Call of Duty Cold War. Now, yeah. I had a couple of guys that I went to school with. We kind of reconvened at a funeral lately. A good friend of ours, which I talked about on the podcast, my buddy Travis. And he was, I want to be careful when I say that. Good friend of theirs. Travis and I have been friends for a long time, but we weren't especially close. Okay, I don't want to make it out like we were closer than we really were. Although a wonderful guy who would make you feel like you've been best friends for seriously 30 years. But really, really close to those gentlemen. We all went to school together. We were all friends together in school. And one of these gentlemen and I played music together before I started my band and started traveling. So, you know, we had kind of got together and I said, hey, look, let's make a point. We've talked over the years about like doing stuff together, but we talk about it and then we don't ever put any action behind it. So I'm going to be personally accountable to make sure that we get together, you know, once a week or two and just play games together. You know, it doesn't have to be hang out, go to each other's houses, do dinner with the families. We can do that stuff a little more sporadically. But I said, I really want to invest in these friendships, because one of the things that I've learned in recent months, because we just had another friend of ours pass away almost 2 weeks ago. It's that, dude, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And although we know that, and, you know, with everything you've had going on, Gareth, it's sometimes that grabs us by complete surprise. And so me and these guys got together and we played some Call of Duty Cold War. Okay. And we were doing the zombie mode. So I played zombies on the actual PS5.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, man, I have beat this game on PS5, but I haven't beat the PS4 version to get the trophies for it.
Right.
And they got some good score. They got some good rarity, you know, as far as like value goes. So I was like, this would be great for, you know, what we have going on, because I've been very, very slack. You know, my trophy consumption has been very poor. So I got to make sure I get some good points when I do play. So we played some Call of Duty Cold War Zombies, had an absolute blast. So I was kind of like in the mood, you know, I'm like, well, these boys went to bed, I'm like ready to go. So I grabbed the portal and I flip over to the campaign and I just started chipping through the campaign. So I'm laying in bed, you know, with the wife, And she's, you know, sawing logs. She's snoring and she's passed out. And I'm just playing Portal for a couple hours. And I'm like, man, this is so good. I'm really just loving playing this game. And you'd think a Call of Duty game, multiplayer and single player, because I've done both, that like it's graphically intensive, you know, it's like, and gameplay is so crucial, you know, your time to fire, your quick draw, all that stuff. And I'm just, man, just loving it, just chipping away at it. So really enjoying playing the Call of Duty Cold War campaign. And if you guys, I mentioned this before last week on the podcast, but there's a deep dive on the Loot Bros Patreon where myself, CJ, former co-host of the show and former co-host of the show, T-Bird, where we get together and we talked about it because we were all surprised with how much we enjoyed the campaign and the zombies for this game back when it first came out on the PS4 and PS5. So highly recommend it. It's a great campaign. It's a great game. It's a Black Ops campaign, so you kind of know what to expect with those. They're good. The zombie mode is incredible, though. It's probably my favorite zombie mode. Now, to be fair, I haven't played the zombies on for the new Modern Warfare 3. I don't own it on PlayStation, so I got a sealed copy on Xbox, but like I don't want to play it there, so I haven't even opened it. And I'm actually committed to sell it to somebody. Okay. So I'm just gonna wait till I get a copy of it on PlayStation and play it with my little friend group that we're gonna be playing Call of Duty. And that's what those boys do. They play Call of Duty. That's their thing. They get the new one every year, and they play Call of Duty every year, and they play it until the next one. So yeah. One of the guys, that's the only thing he plays is Call of Duty. And the other guy, he'll dabble in other games. He too is a Portal guy.
Okay. Yeah. But, to be fair, that used to be me sort of 10 years ago. All I was Call of Duty and FIFA. That was pretty much with the odd game here and there sprinkled in. It was only really the last sort of maybe 6-7 years that I've started going after enjoying other games more so than, and I haven't really invested my time in Call of Duty for quite a while.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the way you want a game, it's fun. I mean, they're good games too. Like,
yeah.
And there's so, you get so much value for your time and money. It's like when you get a Call of Duty game, there's a year's worth of content there. When you get the FIFA, you can play that all year long until the next one. They're built to last. So, definitely excellent, excellent game. So the next thing, and I've been talking about it a lot on the show, so I won't talk too much about it, but I've been playing WWE 2K22. I actually, shout out to T Diddy, former co-host of the show and the host of the Hunter Houston ESG podcast. He reached out to me and said 23 is on sale at Best Buy once they announced 24. And I hadn't picked up 23 yet because I've just 22, I'm still not done with it. I got like 46 hours in this game, 44 hours in this game, something like that. And I'm not done. So I'm just totally enjoying my time with it. I've put the majority of my time in the game, the majority of that 40 hours on the Portal. And it's just, it's been really fun.
Well, so it's unobtainable in that, isn't it?
Yeah, they shut the servers down first or second week of January. But that's the thing with those 2K wrestling.
They do it so soon, don't they? They do it so it's literally 18 months or 2 years after the initial release, isn't it? Or is it?
If you're lucky. Yeah. I feel like 23, they already shut it down. That was a year, but really? I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that one. But yeah, you don't get but more than one or two generations of the game out, and then they shut the servers down. So I've got 100%. On the Xbox version of SmackDown versus Raw 2011. And that's the only 100% on any of these SmackDown versus Raw or Raw 2, you know, WWE games.
Yeah.
That I've done that on. Just because, like, you know, I would, but you just don't get a lot of time. And, you know, a lot of the online stuff that they make you do sucks anyways. So it's like, if you don't rush in and do that first, you're not going to get it done. And I like to get in and just play the game. I like to create my character and I like to play the game. And then I'll go down and do the stories eventually. And they just, but their story modes, to their credit, are getting more and more involved, you know, like right. The mode I'm doing now is called My Rise.
Yeah.
And you literally create a wrestler. You go to the performance center, you learn, you become bottom of the barrel. You work your way up, you get into the first division, which is NXT. Then you work your way into the second and third divisions, depending on which route you go. They're both weighed the same. And your goal is to become the champion in all those divisions. And then you got to turn around and do it again, but with the women's division for the trophies. So, okay. And on PSM profiles, I mean, some of those trophies are like 10% on the rarity. Yeah. So
I'm not a wrestling guy, but I tell you what, I put it in my PS3 two nights ago. And I haven't played it again yet. I intended to, but I haven't got around to it. But it's to I put in WWE Legends of WrestleMania.
Yep, yep. I got that platinum.
And because I looked at it on PSMP, and I've got a couple of the trophies in there, but I've not obviously earned a trophy since 2011, 2000, might have even been earlier, 2008, 2009,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's unattainable. And that was, you know, those little side spinoff wrestling games they put out when you could actually complete them at any given time. There wasn't some online server requirement. And that one's pretty straightforward. It's not representative of the rest of the wrestling games,
no.
But it's good. It's good. I enjoyed it. I got that platinum during one of our trophy competitions years ago. Might have been against the trophy horse, but you know, for me, I like to have like the way I attack my platinums is like I wanted a wrestling platinum, so I got one. I like to have a Resident Evil or horror platinum, so I get them. You know, I wanted a Call of Duty platinum, so I picked my favorite Call of Duty and I went and got a friggin' platinum in it. You know, so I do kind of like single out a couple of these in the different genres that I like or the different, you know, franchises that I like, and I'll attack them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, some of these things are super annoying. Legends WrestleMania is not annoying. So that one's just straightforward. I think
it's fairly obtainable, isn't it? The platinum, because it's all offline, yeah. I think that, isn't it? So
yeah. It's I'll like eight hours or so, and you can have it.
Okay. Yeah. So I will get that again. So
That's a good one.
You been watching anything recently?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's been like another almost like goal for the year is to watch more films. And, you know, you turned me on to that Letterboxd app. Yeah. And now I get to catalog what I watched and make a list. And I get a cool little icon. And it's like so representative of trophy hunting. Like, it's like,
I think that's what I like about it is the meta of it. I like seeing what, you know, that's the one thing I miss about the PS4. That we don't get on the PS5 is the you used to get the stories or about what your friends list were playing and what they'd earned trophies in. You know, the I can't think what they used to call it now, but I do miss that because I used to scroll through that and see what people were playing, whether they got a new game, whether they'd sort of earned the platinum on or anything, and then you could give it a thumbs up as well, couldn't you, if it was something. So and that's what you can do on Letterboxd, which is, you know, I like seeing what people are watching. Whether I've interested in it or not, it's part of the, I don't know, I just enjoy seeing other people's tastes and whatnot. And so I've been using that for a few years now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what I've been doing. Yeah. And so I made my little list. And as a matter of fact, while we're talking, I just added another movie to it that we finished. But we've been going through the Spider-Man movies.
I heard you on the podcast talking about it. Yeah. So
we did it a very interesting way. We started in the middle. So we picked Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, and then we watched those two. And then we went and we watched Spider-Man No Way Home, which is the most recent Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where they have all three Spider-Man make their appearances. And
yeah, I haven't seen that one. That's the one that's where I'm up to, and I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, it's really good. I highly recommend it. And it's even better if you refresh on the other Spider-Man movies first, because there's so many things that happen in this movie that like callbacks, they're tying up loose ends, and it's really, really good. So it's a excellent film, and my kids and I watched it and just really enjoyed it. But the idea behind it was like, Dad, which one, this is what my son asked, which one was your favorite Spider-Man? I said Andrew Garfield, that's my favorite. He goes, okay, I want to watch those movies again because I haven't seen them since I was like super little. I was like, sure. What we'll do is we'll watch them, and then we'll watch Spider-Man No Way Home, so you can kind of see in real time, like while it's fresh, what, you know, what they were doing with some of these story beats. And so we did, and it was awesome. So now we've gone through, and we did a bunch of traveling this past weekend. So we were on the road, I don't know, five hours roughly of traveling this past weekend. And so they watched the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Which I'm not putting that on my list, because even though I heard it, I listened to it through the speakers in the vehicle, I didn't actually watch it. So I'm going to go back and watch it later separate.
Yeah.
And then and now they're halfway through the second one. And so just listen to them discuss amongst themselves, my three kids, what Spider-Man's they like, which why they like them and stuff like that. It's been really cool, man. It's just been, it's been interesting. So, but that's kind of been it for me. I haven't really dabbled in too much more, just because we've been super busy. And this past, we had a lot of church stuff to do this weekend. So it's just kind of like, you know, just kind of catching up now. So this week, we got to put one of our dogs down today.
Oh, I'm sorry to say that.
Well, she's an old dog and she's had a good life. So, it is time for her. So she's very frail and can't hold her bowels or bladder or anything like that. And it's her time. So, so what I'll end up doing tonight is afterwards, we'll probably settle down and watch a film after the fact, just to kind of like, no one's going to really want to do much else. So, but I did watch one the other day, and I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I'll throw this one out to you. It's called Rendel, R-E-N-D-E-L. It's actually a Spanish film.
I've not heard of it. I've not come across it, to be honest.
It's on my little list if you want to go look at it. No rush. But it's interesting because it's almost like a Spanish take on a Punisher type character.
Okay.
And it's interesting. I don't know that I loved it. I don't think it was terrible. It's definitely produced different than an American film, which I don't mind. And I don't mind something that's subtitled and you know, what have you, and stuff like that. But it was interesting. And I watched it, and there were certain parts that were good and certain parts that were not good. So I don't know. I'm still kind of formulating my thoughts on how I felt about it, but it seemed like a good like foundation for what could be a cool franchise moving forward. And I think it's a couple years old, so I don't know that there's a sequel, but it was like a random like charity shop find. Like I was at a thrift store, and we were traveling a few weeks ago, my kids and I, and my son had to go. We had to go a couple hours down the road for he had region band tryouts. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name. And so he had to go try out. And then, so we ended up doing like 3 hours driving for like a 3-minute tryout. Oh, wow. But on the way back, we thrifted and hit video game stores all the way home. And that was kind of like our little thing. Yeah. So, and we walked into this one charity shop, and it was just like, Blu-rays, like crazy box sets and all this stuff. So we bought a bunch of stuff that we're going to sell and whatnot, and a bunch of stuff that we'll make some money on. But we bought that movie Rendel because I never heard of it, never seen it. And it just, the cover art looked awesome. It looked really cool. And it reminded me, and Gareth, this might resonate with you, back in the day when you'd pick up like a music, like an album, or you picked up a video game on PS2 or PS1, where it's like, I don't know anything about this, but the cover looks cool, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I've done that many a time. So, you know, going into Blockbuster videos used to choose your video on a Friday or Saturday evening.
Yeah, 100%. So that's what that was. So, don't know that it was it was great, but you know, for $3.99, it wasn't bad. That's for sure. So, so what about you?
There's a couple. Well, two. I've watched two films this past week, and I've finished a series as well. So, the films I watched was Sisu. I'm not sure if you've heard of
that. I saw that on your list. I saw that.
That's basically a Finnish war veteran, and a feared war veteran who sort of basically retires or doesn't want to fight anymore. So he decides that he's going to become a trying to mine for gold, and he comes across gold. And as he's making his way back, you know, from wherever he's gone to done it, because it's set during the World War. I think it's World War II. It's set during World War II, and he gets stopped by some Nazis, and they obviously discover that he's got this gold and want to take it off him, and it becomes a one-man army against killing Nazis in the most brutal fashion possible you could imagine. So The runtime on it is about 90 minutes, so it's really easy to watch. Some of it is really over the top and unbelievable. It goes a little bit too far, but the killings are, as I said, are brutal and quite imaginative as well. But it's just mindless action killing Nazis, basically. So it was quite an entertaining watch. I watched a really good horror film, one that I felt was really good, and called Thanksgiving. I mentioned it to you just in messaging. And I, having thought about it since then, the best way I would describe it is a cross between Scream and Final Destination.
Oh, wow.
So you know how Final Destination always had an event at the start which triggered off the film? This has a similar sort of event that triggers off the killings, if that makes sense. So it's not a supernatural, like the Final Destination was, you know, just random things. Well, not random, but things happened. But there's an event that actually sparks it off. And it was a really, really good slasher movie. And I've seen plenty of slasher movies, but this stood out as being one of the best ones I've seen most recently. And I'd highly recommend it to anybody. It was on the cinema, just before Christmas. And it's available to rent from Amazon. And no doubt it'll be on streaming services at some point in the coming months as well. But it's worth checking out, definitely. The types of deaths are really Final Destination-esque as well, sort of, you know, quite gruesome, quite imaginative as well. So definitely worth checking out. And then the series that I completed was Monarch: Legacy of Monsters, which is on Apple TV, with Kurt Russell is in it.
I'm ready to watch that. I haven't got into it. I haven't started it yet.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to watch it.
It's good. It's good. It's not top tier, is it? If you think of your top notch box set, you know, Breaking Bad and stuff like that, it's not top tier, but it's certainly very watchable. I would sort of liken it to, in terms of how I felt about it, similar to what's the one based on the game, the racing game, the Destruction Derby game?
The Twist of Metal.
I would liken it to that type of, not humorous in that way, but in terms of easy to watch, easy to follow. It's enjoyable, and I got the same similar sort of enjoyment out of watching both of those. So and they've obviously set it up for a season two as well, which I won't tell any let off anything, but you can tell that it's set up for season two. But it's basically follows on from previous Godzilla and Kong Island. So there's references to Monarch and Skull Island and whatnot, and then obviously Godzilla is in it, and it's all about other titans though that have and how they're being discovered, where they're coming from, almost like the history of those movies where Godzilla appears. You don't really know why he's appeared or where he's come from, but he has appeared, and this sort of gives the backstory behind that. So it's definitely worth a watch.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. I want to watch that with my kids. So I don't know. I haven't looked into the content on it or anything.
But you'll be fine with the kids. There's no bad language in it. There's no gory parts really. It's some parts of it are tense, but there's not. It's certainly, I would say, it was probably rated as a 12 rated.
Perfect.
Over here, so yeah, so kids will be fine with it.
Yeah, we've been watching horror movies, like PG-13 horror movies like, you know, kind of skirt the line, I guess, on what's. It's so funny because like we had my daughter loves horror movies. She's just like me. And so I've been trying to find like everything that's kind of like acceptable for like the 12 to 13 range.
Yeah.
And some of it kind of skirts the line, but my daughter can watch a horror movie and not have bad dreams and not have like, you know, trouble sleeping. So we can watch some of the more frightening stuff is probably the way I'll put it. Now my little guy, nope. Not him. Yeah. He don't like it. It makes him uncomfortable. He doesn't sleep good. We got this little, we call it the tiny bed, but it's like a chaise or something at the foot of our bed where you can kind of sit down on it. It's a nice piece that matches the rest of the room. You can sit down on it and you can put your shoes on and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can lift it up and you can hide all of your bedding and all of your sheets and comforters and stuff under there. Well, so it's just like an elegant looking chaise. It's probably the best way to put it. Well, he calls it the tiny bed because he can still sleep on it. So if we watch something too scary with him, can I sleep on the tiny bed tonight? Sure.
Well, it's funny because I said to Harry, my lad, my eldest is 12, and I said to him, do you want to watch a bit of a scary film? I said Daryl's going through and with his kids, and they're watching some scary films, and then obviously Rick is another level above when I see what he's watching with his lad as well. You know, the thing and aliens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Harry agreed to sort of, I won't put anything on because I don't want anything sort of, you know, with too bad language, and I didn't want anything too gory or anything like that. So we started off with Jeepers Creepers, and we only got about 45 minutes in when a head popped off and landed on the windscreen. that was it. He was done.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, dude, Rick is going through and watching all these like classic bangers. He's watching all these great films. And I'm like, man, y'all are another level ahead of me. But you know what? One day my kids will be. I think is the appropriate time for that. And I'm so excited for those days because he's like, oh man, we're watching The Thing. Oh man, we're watching Alien. Oh, and I'm like, man, I can't wait for the day I can do that. You know,
yeah definitely.
But it's cool. So yeah, so I got. With that being said, I picked up. Sorry, I just hit my mic. I picked up a film called White Noise. It's got Michael Keaton in it.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
I've never seen it.
They bought out two or three, didn't they? In the end, but. The sequels are very cheap, you know, they're straight to DVD. Gotcha. You know how The Butterfly Effect is a quality film, and then they bought out another four of them. They were straight to DVD. That's what White Noise is. White Noise, the first one was pretty good, and then they bought out sequels which weren't so good.
Gotcha. Well, I picked up a copy of White Noise, so we're gonna watch that one. Hopefully, this weekend maybe. My We got a lot of home projects this week and this weekend, so I'm hoping to squeeze in a couple. You know, I want to watch one for me on my list of things, and watch, you know, one for the kids. But it's been cool, man. It's like I love watching movies. I love watching films. That's like an old pastime that my dad and I. So we used to own a business like Blockbuster, you know, like a mom and pop's video store when I was growing up, and so. It's kind of one of those things to where like I grew up watching movies and watching films with my dad, and we got all the new stuff before it came out so we could watch it and determine whether or not he wanted to buy up on them and put them in the store. So my wife just does not like movies. She doesn't like sitting there for, which is funny because she can watch six hour long episodes of reality TV trash. And she's totally fine. But you put on a 90-minute or 2-hour long, you know, actual think piece. And she's like, I can't do this. I can't sit still. So it's very interesting, you know, her taste versus mine. But because of that, I just don't, you know, years and years and years, I've just neglected watching a ton of stuff that I really enjoy. So.
Now that you've got the portal, you'll be able to spend time. She can watch what she wants to watch, and
that's right.
You can do you want to do.
So definitely putting in. So speaking of the portal, it is time. It's portal time. Let's get in. We promised an in-depth review on the portal, and I think that I've done. You know, I've played it in almost every environment I want to. Not you know, with some caveats. You know, and I've kind of learned some of the strengths and the weaknesses. I'm sure you've done the same. So before we get into details, Gareth, let's just kind of get your high-level thoughts, brief overview.
Yeah.
Is the portal good for you? Do you like it? Yes or no?
Okay, so if, before I start, what I want to do, what I want to say is, because I've noticed a lot of heat that the portal is getting online on certain groups, people thinking it's not worth the money. But often that comes from people who may have not actually don't own it. You know, it's for their perception of it. And let me, and I just wanted to add that when this portal was announced, I dismissed it straight away because I was disappointed with that. I wanted them to return to the handheld market, Sony, that is, with a almost like a Vita 2, you know, native right. games on there, or something that you could stream your PS Plus library from, or some or something that I could do. I never thought that the portal in its form, which is essentially a remote player, would satisfy my needs, because I'm thinking, well, when would I use it? Would I want to take it on holiday? I want to take it commuting. I can't connect it to the internet. It is not 4G compatible, 5G. So all I'm going to be doing is using it at home. But then I've got my main PlayStation, which is so. All this went through my head. I thought, completely dismissed it outright. Never, I'm not going to bother with it. And the more and more as time went on, and it only got to about maybe the beginning of December, the end of November. And I think I messaged you and Rick and I said, I'm thinking about it. I'm contemplating it because I think it was a point I was doing a grind and I fell asleep holding the controller, doing mm-hmm. a trophy grind, you know, thinking, what am I doing? Like spending my time, this is my waking time and I'm just performing level or doing collectible after collectible after collectible. And then you go to bed and then that's your evening gone. And whereas I could be doing something as well as that. Do you know what I mean? Yep. So I'm thinking, well, actually now this might be the perfect tool for doing a mindless grind. So, but I can watch now, I can watch sport. I can watch a match. I love watching my football. I watch football all the time. But now I can have the football on the main TV and I can sit there with my portal and just do bits with doing collectibles or boosting up XP or online levels or whatever it might be. Or I can sort of spend time with the wife while she's watching her programs. We can have a chat. I can still do what I want to do. We're all happy. Everyone's happy. So these were things were going through my head prior to purchasing it. And I didn't realize how hard it would be to actually get hold of a portal until I started trying sort of in the run up to Christmas. And it was literally every time I would sort of sign up for these stock alerts and within 30 seconds they were sold out. It was gone. they were like gold dust. I could not get one. And eventually, cause I'd asked for my wife for one for Christmas. And in the end I just said, look, don't worry about that because there's nothing, I can't get hold of one. And I'm normally pretty good at sourcing these types of things. So I said, so she ended up getting me something else. And I said, I'll buy one if one crops up. And I remember that when I'd literally, we've got in our ensuite bathroom in the bed to, you know, linked to the bedroom. I'd literally just got into the shower and I left my phone on the side next to the shower. And I saw it light up quicker. And I never normally, I think I'll just wait till I get out of the shower. But I didn't. For some reason, I picked it up. I opened the shower door and picked it up. And it was a notification to say that portal is in stock from this from this sort of stock informer, I think it was. And so I thought, well, quickly, and you know when my hand was wet because it was showering, mm-hmm. I couldn't scroll through, so I couldn't click my phone. So I was like panicking, looking for the towel to wipe, then I had to wipe my screen off and stuff. And so I'm like, stood there naked, like, you know, start bollock naked, sort of like, what? Katie's like, what are you doing? I said, nothing, I've just got to get this, look, it's just come in stock here. So
why are you naked with your phone in the shower? Well, there's nothing weird about that at all.
So why on your phone? So I'm there and I'm sort of, because I knew how quickly the sold out pre, I didn't even have time to sort of like get a towel to whip around me or something. I was just sort of stood there. And I eventually got it and I managed to order it. It was on the 23rd of December. And 22nd of December to pick up on the 23rd of December from an a local, well, I say local, a half an hour away drive, and picked it up and gave it a go that evening on the 23rd. And my first, I was absolutely blown away, if I'm honest, perfectly honest, by the clarity of the screen, the size of the screen. It was so much more, it was so much bigger than I expected it to be. I know that you could talk. Yeah, yeah, especially having seen me trying to order it. So, so I was like, wow, this is great. And the clarity of it is like the colors are so vibrant, and mm-hmm. it was so easy to set up. Obviously, just select your remote play settings on your PlayStation, and away you go. And it obviously just mirrors the screen on there. But at this time, I was only using it at my home. I've probably used it. I probably use it. I wouldn't say every day, but I reckon every other day I use it. Maybe even more frequent than that. And I can go into it in more detail depending on how you want to take it, how the topic of conversation. But my overall impressions without going into too much detail are: it's a superb piece of kit. It's well worth the money. People try to say it's $200 or £200, and it does the same thing as your remote play on an iPad, or getting the backbone and using your phone for it, but it's not the same. This is a dedicated piece of kit. The screen is bigger. You're not distracted by your mobile phone giving a text message or ringing. The connectivity is great. In fact, it is far superior. I've used it in different away from the home, and with good degrees of success, which we can go into in a bit. But overall, it is, if anybody's on the edge and thinking about whether they would make use of it, it's changed the way that it sounds really strange how it can adjust my lifestyle, but it has. And it sounds a bit lame for a gaming thing. My evenings tended to consist of, because me and Katie, like you and Brandy, you and your wife, you have different tastes in what you want to watch. My wife's much like yours. She'll watch a trash reality TV, and that's mm-hmm. no good for me. So I tend to watch a series or a film, or I'll play on the PlayStation. But what would happen is, so we've got multi-room, so she would watch her TV upstairs, and I'd be down in the lounge, and then we'd pop upstairs or downstairs and see each other for a bit, and then we'd carry on with what we're doing. But it would get to a point where I'd be sat on my PlayStation and I'd think, oh, I'm really tired. I really need to go to bed. And then I'm thinking, oh, I've still got to sort the cats out. I've got to feed the cats, get them in, get them sorted, switch everything off, do my teeth and, you know, have a wash, you know, and stuff like that, then get into bed. And it was like, but I'm finding myself now just getting ready, switching the PlayStation off early, doing everything early in terms of sorting out all the bits that I need to, and getting into bed, spending a bit more time with the wife, and then I'm going to sleep earlier because I'm in bed, I'm relaxed, and so I'm sort of finding it has helped massively with sort of my sort of sleep patterns. You know, I'm not staying up to the early hours of the morning necessarily, just doing nothing. So it's really, I know it sounds a bit of an odd thing, but it's really, really sort of helped on that front. And I'm so surprised actually at how good it is.
Absolutely. I'm gonna piggyback off of you right there and jump in and say I echo everything you just said, minus being naked in the shower with my phone trying to order one, which is an amazing story. I too struggle with getting one. And the thing is, this is like my wife said she was going to get me one for Christmas. She tried. She's not techie, and she's not in the know. And so for her, it's like, oh, I can't go on Amazon and get it. I don't know how to do this. So I just kind of let her have it, you know, and I was like, this thing's come out and people are getting it and people are having their opinions and impressions and stuff. And it's like, I'll get one, you know, I'll get one eventually. I'm not worried about it. And then as time went by, I'm like, man, if I had a freaking portal, I could do this. If I could do this. So I actually ended up getting a Backbone. I've had the Kishi, the Razer Kishi, for a while. And I think the Kishi is a serviceable controller piece for remote play and for games that are on mobile that allow you to use a controller. Okay. But I don't like playing on the Kishi. Okay. I don't like playing on my phone. I ended up getting a Backbone since the portals released, and it wasn't intentional. I bought a giant, lot of, video games and accessories, and there was one in there in the box. So I've been able to use the Backbone and to kind of gain an understanding of like, okay, this is the premium device for remote play, at least as far as the general consumers understand it. And this is much better buttons, much better. I don't know if it's the device or if it's the program or I don't know what, but I just felt like my connectivity and my response time, the actual input lag, was so much better on the Backbone. But the control is very tiny, and I've got pretty decent sized hands. And it's one of those things where I lay in bed and I was like, this is not the comfortable way of doing this. And just like you, we have multiple rooms in the house to where we can kind of consume our shows and movies and stuff. But my wife doesn't like for me and her to be separated when it comes to consuming content, And on top of that, I don't like also not being around my wife just because I want to watch a show or play a game, And so oftentimes I just sacrifice what I'm into until she falls asleep or, I get up early, whatever. I always just kind of work around my family so that no one has to lose because I like to play video games. Okay.
Yeah.
And so since I've gotten the portal, which to kind of like finish up that story is like you told me about a group that, was able to, everyone was kind of posting this group, this PlayStation Portal group. Like, here's when they come in, go, 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 go. And I joined that Facebook group because we were post Christmas. My wife's like, I couldn't figure out how to get you one. I'm sorry. She actually bought me something for my reselling business, which has paid dividends and been excellent. So like the gift she gave me was great. And I'm like, cool, let me worry about getting a portal. So multiple times I tried to buy one and I didn't come up with any luck. I was like, okay, I've got the alarm set and all that stuff. And then you told me about that group. I joined the group and I was able to, get the portal. Someone had posted, I was actually working with my little eBay side business and I was packaging a bunch of shipments. And then I got a notification says, hey, they're live. I just got one. So I immediately jump on PlayStation Direct and I get one and I'm like, I was like shaking though. I was like, hands were sweating. I'm like, I gotta get it. And it's so exciting, whenever you get, I was like, man, I might not be able to get this, it was pretty cool. So I got it. PlayStation Direct had dropped it off at my house in like 2 days. I pulled it out of the box and just like you, Gareth, this thing is way bigger than I expected. Mm. And I was like, man, this thing, it feels so good. It is a premium device. It feels like it is tailor-made to be in your hands, to play for long periods of time. And I was like, man, this thing, immediate initial impressions where this is awesome. Takes no time to set up. Like when you're saying it's like super easy and super consumer friendly, it really is. Like I turned it on. It connected to my, it's like, which one of the three PlayStations in the house would you like me to connect to?
Mm, yeah.
And I connected because, me and both my boys, we all have our own console. And it was like, man, this is easy. Now, my environment at the time, I have one of those mesh, internet.
Mesh Wi-Fis. Yeah.
Right. So I've got little units kind of placed around my house is three stories. We have a 1,000-square-foot basement, which is where the kids all have their consoles and their gaming stuff. And my eBay room, we have the first floor of the house, which is like the family room and my office, which is where the internet is actually like comes in. And then in the upstairs, our bedroom is the farthest corner of the office. The office is on one end of the house. If you wanted to put it into perspective, the front left room and the master bedroom is the back right room, completely on the opposite end of the house. So it's the farthest point away. Okay. And so I bought that, you know, that mesh unit or whatever, and that's really helped us with connectivity throughout the, you know, throughout the house, you know, for all our internet stuff. So I do remote play on a regular basis, whether it be via the Kishi or the Backbone, and it works. And sometimes you'll get like a little bit of slowdown, but for the most part, it's pretty serviceable. that being said, having the portal, it is butter smooth. Now, my PlayStation 5 was not hardwired. It was just Wi-Fi, just sitting across the room from the unit, not hardwired. And butter smooth. It was so, like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, I'm not having any issues. And I went in straight for, like, you know, heavy, intense games. I was like, I'm going to do something graphically intensive. I want to do something gameplay intensive. I want to play some online multiplayer. And I want to see what this thing can do. And just like you said, the screen is so big. It's so vibrant. And it is just so smooth. Like, it is, it's awesome. And I am just so, so pleased with it. Like, I jumped right in and had no issues. Like, just, yeah. It's great. And the cool thing is you get all of the functionality of the DualSense. So I can, and man, the speaker in this thing, like the actual sound speaker, it's so much louder and so much, like, better than I expected. I am.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I was on, I didn't realize, I thought this is too loud. So I pressed it once to turn it, and then it muted. It was, I was on the lowest setting it could be, and I thought it was still too loud. You're right. The sound is superb, and mine is hardwired. My PS5 is hardwired, and I've changed a couple of settings because obviously I've also used it. As well as at home, because obviously with what's happened to my mum, I've spent a bit of time around at my dad's house, and I took my portal around there more on the off chance of just testing it more than anything, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I connected to his Wi-Fi, but what I'd also done is and this apparently helps. And there is another thing which I haven't tried because I've not been there anywhere else. So I turned the screen resolution down to 1080p on the PlayStation 5 from 2160, and I turned VRR off. And those things are supposed to make a difference. The other thing which apparently makes a difference, but I haven't tested it, is if you take your HDMI cable out of the PS5 as well. And that
really,
yeah, those three things improve the input lag. So when I played it at my dad's house, get on his Wi-Fi, my PlayStation hardwired at home, 12 miles away, probably, it was no different to playing it at home.
So cool.
Exactly the same. I've also done it via hotspot on my phone. My lad Harry was playing a football match in a place called Langport, which is about 50 miles from where we live, maybe 60 miles from where we live. And before, whilst he was warming up, I thought, I'm just going to take it out, because I knew that we were going to do the podcast on this. So I thought, I'm going to take it with me and test it on there. And I tried it with a platform. I've tried it with that Ice Age game that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, that Scratch.
Scratch the Adventure.
Yeah. I nearly got the platinum for that. So, and it connected after it took a little longer to connect, but it connected and it was playable. It was a little bit laggy, but I am connected to, I only had 4G and I was connected to my phone. So it wasn't the greatest, but from what all the reports that I'm reading on that, especially on that portal group, is people are taking it hundreds of miles away, connecting it to a decent, as long as you've got a decent internet connection, you're playing it pretty seamlessly and without input lag. I'm going to test it. I'm going on a cruise in the end of May, around the Mediterranean, Spain, Italy, and France and whatnot. But the cruise ship has 18 quid a day for the internet, by the way, on the cruise ship. But they have Starlink, which is obviously satellite broadband. Right. which, so I'm tempted to take my portal on that and just test it against that, because obviously I'll be hundreds of miles away, hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Yeah.
If it works on that, I'll be able to see, you know, that will give me a really good indication of what it is, because I was so surprised. I wasn't expecting it to work anywhere else. I wasn't expecting it to work even at my dad's house 10 miles away. I was just literally at the time of buying this, only expecting to use it at home so I don't play it on the main TV. But this has opened up a few more doors to how I might be able to game also when I'm on holiday or where I'm out. Obviously, the limitations to it are you can't connect it to a Wi-Fi that requires you to authenticate via,
right?
So like a restaurant or a coffee shop or something like that. So
like a hotel.
Yeah. So if there's a browser and it asks you to sign up for a, you won't be able to do that. You'll need it. You has to be connected to a somewhere where you can just simply enter a Wi-Fi password and do that. But so I started off playing games that, because that was the other thing, is what games do I play on it? Because I'm sort of more conscious of that. The bigger game, I know that you've played some more intensive games in terms of their graphics and their sort of, you know, type of games. Do you know what I mean? Where it's quick, right, quick motion. I've tended to play a bit more stuff that wouldn't be affected anyway by, like I played entirety of Lego Builder's Journey on that portal and completed that. As I said, I'm playing that Carto, which again, and that Food Truck Tycoon. But I have played The Messenger on there, and I've played Art of Rally, and I've had no problem with that. I haven't tried anything online yet, I'll be honest with you on that. But it's no different to almost like using a standard controller and watching it on your PlayStation 5 in terms of the input lag. It's literally,
correct,
certainly in house anyway. And again on my sort of, you know, connected to a good internet connection 10 miles or 12 miles away. I really sort of, there's no need for this negativity about it, because it, Sony know why they've bought it out, and it does exactly what it says on the tin, and if not a bit better than what it says on the tin, to be honest with you, because I wasn't expecting it to be as good. Nobody's forcing anybody to buy it. If you don't want it, you don't have to get it. It's not a problem. So it certainly isn't a waste of money, not in my eyes. I've had quite a lot of use out of it, and I expect to continue to get that same use out of it moving forward. So
I agree, and I actually want to double down on that. I think for me, this is a must-own device, to the point I think I need one like a backup. I think I need another one in the event that something happens, because like you said, this has changed your sleep cycle and kind of where you reside while you do your grindy games. To me, this has like completely revolutionized how I play. Like I've gotten more time in on some of these games that take longer. And you guys have heard me talk for years. I avoid longer games because my time is limited, and I do, and I've always got my hand in so many different things, right? So for me, it's like, I kind of stay away from the grind. Let's play the shorter games. Let's play the sure things. Like, what am I going to get like for sure trophies out of? I've got almost 40 hours into wrestling in WW2K. Yeah. And I'm not worried about it at all, because I'm like, dude, I'm laying in the bed. My wife is completely satisfied because I'm there beside her. I have no issues at all. I don't hear anything about, well, you're gaming all the time and you're downstairs. You're not with me. I mean, she's asleep. You know, just to me being in there, and this might sound silly, but most husbands understand. My wife goes to sleep faster if I'm in the room than she does if I'm not.
Yeah.
And it just, for whatever reason, she's like, yeah, I'm there. She goes to bed. And so now I'm laying in the bed with the portal, and I've already beaten Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm going to beat the PS4 version, and I don't necessarily need to have that crazy loudspeaker on, which I love. I think it sounds amazing. But I've got it, you know, and it's like, I started playing, you know, you mentioned you didn't play any multiplayer stuff. I started playing the Call of Duty online for Cold War, exclusively on the portal.
Yeah.
There's trophies. As a matter of fact, I got them brought up beside me right here. There are trophies for 200 eliminations. There's trophies for Yeah, 200 eliminations in multiplayer, 50 win 50 multiplayer matches, 50 kills with lethal score streaks. I can't talk. 100 kills as the driver, the pilot, or the passenger of a vehicle multiplayer. I mean, like, I got some grinding to do. And you know what? This is, in my opinion, the perfect trophy hunting companion piece for your grinding. This is that I can imagine the JRPG guy to jump into a, you know, a long grind, and it's like, hey, I need you to I need to knock out this many hours of grind. I need you to do this many kills on multiplayer. I mean, just like, these things are so, that's exactly what this thing does. I mean, it is just an outstanding piece of tech, in my opinion. And I think it's better than what they advertise. As a matter of fact, just like you said, like, you kind of didn't know that you needed it. I don't know that I can go back to not having one personally. I think that this is the piece of the, PlayStation experience I didn't know I needed. I just wanted. And now I'm like, I don't know how I could ever go back to not having this. So I think it is the Trophy Hunter's companion piece. This is what you need. Dads out there, if you're listening to the show, this is how you get by with gaming while the kids are commanding the television. Husbands out there who are, you know, your wives are watching The Desperate Housewives or Love Island or, you know, Love After Lockup or all the crap out there, this is just the piece that you need. So I just kind of want to double down on that. Now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break into some of the specifics of my personal, you know, just observations I've made, some of the, you know, things that I think are, you know, kind of cool, kind of important. As far as ergonomic, guys, it is a PS5 controller. It's a DualSense 5. Feels absolutely amazing in your hand. The difference is it's got an 8-inch tablet, like an iPad mini, in the middle. Okay. So as far as, is it sturdy? Does it have the right amount of weight? Yes. I think that it has the perfect amount of weight to it. I think that it feels really good. It's not too heavy. It's not too light to where it feels cheap and flimsy. Buttons and triggers and thumbsticks, everything feel just like a DualSense 5. If anything, I think the thumbsticks are maybe a little more responsive. I think they might be a little, I don't want to say looser, but maybe the best way to put it is they're not quite as tight as the DualSense 5 controller. So I think it's stellar. It feels amazing. Design wise, I think it's really cool. It's like, at first when you look at it, you're like, whoa, that's a little weird. I've just never seen anything like this. But the you know, on the touchpad on the DualSense and on the PS4, there's like a light that goes around it. In the Portal, that light kind of runs down both sides of the controller around the screen, and it just looks really, really awesome. It just looks really, really cool. Again, as far as overall design goes, like, where it charges in the back is, it's pretty convenient. It's got a, you know, 3.5 millimeter jack for any kind of headphones or headset you want to wear. I didn't purchase any of the PlayStation Link stuff. I wasn't interested in spending $200 on a headset with some proprietary audio tech in there. So I don't know what that sounds like, but I know the speaker built into it sounds absolutely amazing. It is way louder and way better than I ever expected. Of course, it's got the built-in microphone and the mute option so that you can do your online games and you don't even have to have a headset. So if you're playing somewhere and it's like, I can just talk straight through it and play games with my boys. And what's really cool for my specific use case is, just like I said before, where my friends and I are going to be playing Call of Duty together exclusively, I don't always have to go into the office where the PS5 is at, put a headset on and play Call of Duty with them. I now can just take the Portal into any room. I can sit in the living room. I can sit in the, we've got a sitting area in my bedroom. I can sit in there and play just, you know, Call of Duty and just talk with the boys. You know, it's cool. It's awesome. Now, as far as areas and places I've tried it at, so my phone service, my particular phone, everything, I'm still on 4G. My kids are on 5G, so I have not tried to see what 5G hotspot looks like. And the areas in which that I'm in the car and I'm in car line, it is a dead zone. I barely even have cell service. Like, it's just, there's something about those areas that are just trash. So I have not been able to test out what my hotspot environment looks like on the portal, just because my phone and cell service and everything, I'm not up to date. I'm still rocking an old iPhone 11 with 4G. So, in those particular areas where I'm stopped and I'm not actually driving, I'm like, well, there's no cell service anyways. My internet is so bad, I can't even send an email. So there's no connection for the portal for me currently in the environments that I've been at. But I did take it across town, 15 or so miles, to my brother's house. And this is before I hardwired my console. I went over there we're sitting over at his house. I'm hanging out with my little nephew, and I pull the portal out. I immediately connect it to my PS5, and I resume a four-player mixed tag match on WWE 2K22. Now, why is that important? Because the more characters on screen and the more physics it's trying to balance, the more graphically and gameplay demanding the game is. Okay. So doing four characters on a WWE 2K game and all characters moving, interacting with each other, everything at the same time, puts a lot of strain on the console and the portal itself. And I was able to connect and continue, finish a match. I did experience some lag and some interruptions, but the environment, I think, was the cause of that. And what I mean by that is I was currently not hardwired at home, and I was still able to continue and play full matches. All right. And then my brother, who I connected to his 2G, there's like 2.7G or whatever, and then there's 5G in the home. I connected to his 2G, because that one has the most range for where we were at. And he's also using, his internet is much, it's not as good as mine. And he's using old Cat 5 cables and stuff like that. So there's a lot to it that made his environment less than stellar compared to my environment. And I was still able to jump in and play the game. Now, I got a friend of mine, one of the guys I play Call of Duty with, who sends me pictures and messages while he's in car line using his Verizon hotspot, and he is completing multiplayer matches on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. So I have seen with my own eyes, at least picture evidence, where with the right, you know, hotspot, you can go way farther than I'm going with my current hotspot. So it's pretty incredible what this thing can do. And we're really just kind of scratching the surface with different environments and, you know, different, I guess, permutations of connectivity. So what I went and did after I went to my brother's house and saw that, okay, to play the portal at his house, which, keep in mind, guys, I'm playing my PS5. I'm playing big AAA titles on my PS5 on the go, and it looks and feels amazing. Okay. So I went and ordered myself a Cat 8 flat braided Ethernet cable and ran that across from the modem straight to the back of my PS5. So now I'm hardwired. So this week when I leave and I go back over there, I really wanted to have it done before we recorded again, just so I could say, here's a direct comparison between the two environments and two setups. I'll be able to do that on a later episode, just not today. But I'm going to be able to go back over there, and I'll be able to, I am guaranteeing, I know in my heart, guys, that I'm going to be able to play this, and it's going to be smoother and better. I'm going to have a better comparison for the two. So, you know, just like you, I've tried it in multiple environments. I've tried it about 15-ish miles away from, maybe not quite 15 miles away from my house. And it's worked. It's serviceable, you know. And is it perfect? Mine wasn't, But I've heard and seen where it can be. And I will say this little device, it just does more than I expected. So, you know, I think that it looks great. It feels great. It has changed how I game. And I am, I just want to take a minute, Gareth. I just want to thank Jimmy Ryan, because we know this was his. This was his idea. This was his parting gift to us. When he retired, rode off into the sunset, good old franchise, worldwide, portal time, Jimmy Ryan, he said, here, guys, this is my legacy. This is what I leave for you. Go forth and game everywhere. And
he's done us proud there, I think. He's done us a solid.
He did. It's much better than I expected. So, yeah, for people, and I just want to address a few people specifically here on the show that I've had some pretty direct conversation with about this thing. For Joe, who was completely anti-portal as it was being, you know, revealed, it's really good, man. It's really good. Again, I don't know that it's for everybody, but for those of us who are, you know, maybe we're older, we're more established, maybe we have more routine, we've got kids, we got wives, you know, we're constantly on the move, on the go at different, you know, practices and, you know, football and volleyball and, you know, here in the States, soccer and, you know, all that stuff. Like, I mean, you know, this is a good way for us to get in a little bit of game time when we're not necessarily, we're just, you know, we're more so the taxi or the chaperone for the kids to go do their thing. And it's a good way to get some trophies on the go, I think. And I think that what I'm going to do, we've officially come to the consensus that this year, Gareth, we're actually not going to do the Backlog Beatdown 5. So yeah. Last week on the episode, I said we were going to do the Backlog Beatdown 5, that the commissioner, JT, and I were kind of working on doing seasons. We're just going to do short, you know, bursts where people can focus their effort for a little while, play, and then kind of do their own thing and come back later. And what we've decided as of this morning is that we're actually not going to do the Backlog Beatdown 5 this year. We're going to focus on the Rarity event. Well, I think that that's a really good event. There's a lot of participation in it, and I think that that's going to be a fun place for us to kind of focus our attention. So what I'm going to do instead of posting Backlog Beatdown stats as each week or each month or each every other week, however it works out, I am going to post, instead of Backlog Beatdown, it's going to be completed on the portal or portal time or portal power or something of that nature, where whenever I beat a game, guys, I'm going to let you know whether or not I beat that game on the portal. And then as the weeks progress, I'm going to dedicate a small amount of time on the show to, you know, to the portal. You know, whereas we would go over Backlog Beatdown stats and we'd say, all right, this is what the points everybody got, this is what they beat, I'm going to say, you know, hey, this is what I played on the portal. How did it do? This was the environment of the portal. How did it do? How did it stack up compared to, you know, my gaming experience in front of the console? So that way we have time to focus on, you know, your event, which I think is an excellent event. And also give some love to the portal, because I think over the years to come, people are going to be less and less hesitant to this the more they hear about how great of a companion piece this is. So I think that's going to be kind of the way moving forward. So do you have any closing thoughts? You know, we've talked about the screen, we've talked about the sound, we've talked about portability, we've talked about our experience and how it's really kind of helped us kind of change our environments and our, you know, where we
other than just reiterating what we've already said, I mean, it's a premium product. The sticks are great. It's basically a PlayStation 5 controller with a screen in the middle. You're not losing. The haptics are great. The haptics are adjustable, so you can take the haptics off, which will give you a better battery life. The battery life is a little bit...
It's less than desirable. I did forget to mention that.
Yeah, I'll probably get 4 hours, I reckon, of solid game time, probably playing it. Maybe more, but it would be more if you take the haptics off. However, it's not very often that I play for 4 hours. I won't play for 4 hours solid on my portal anyway. But it's, you know, other than that, there's not really anything to squirm. And I was the biggest, you forget, I know Joe's sort of has been against it, but I can honestly say there was nobody more against it at the time it was announced than I was. And I am fully converted to how it is and can see the benefits of it. I would really recommend people getting in one, especially if you've got families, wife, kids, limited game time, limited screen time. It will make a difference for you if you wanted to spend some extra time getting some game time in.
Yep, I agree. And I want to conclude with this. And I'm going to, when we do the GTTSC this year, I am going to be able to attack games and get trophies in such a better, I'm just being so much more efficient because I'll be able to just have this, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to throw this out there as just kind of like, for the trophy hunters, the podcasters, this is the podcast companion. I have been playing on my portal the entire time we've talked. When I'm on these boring Zoom calls and stuff for work, or I've got we have like education pieces that roll out all the time where it's kind of like reiterating, like, oh, here's something you already do every day in practice, but you have every year you have to go through these courses to prove that you've been reeducated and blah, 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 blah. You know what I got in my hand? I got the portal. So I'm going to portal it up as much as I possibly can. And again, laying in bed with the portal has just proven to be like, just, it's awesome. And I'm not busting out crazy amounts of trophies with it, but I have been having a good time knocking out some of these missions and some of these grinds. And I think this is great. I think it's excellent. It's much better than I ever expected. And, I look forward to playing on the portal.
Yeah, I completely agree. So yeah, that's it from me on the portal.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Gareth, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on here with me and talk about this, man. I know we both got to get back to work, so I'm going to land the plane with this, guys. Join the trophy looting group. Gareth puts out these excellent updates on the trophy rarity event that we're doing over the year. And I really just appreciate him for that. I appreciate you coming on here and talking with me, man. Get tons of trophies, man. Enjoy your portal. And always remember, guys, anime's for pervs. Bow down! Excuse the
Say, there is no